The blessing is progressive. The revelation is progressive. We start hearing it called the blessing in Genesis chapter 12. We know that we also talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham was the beginning of Genesis 12. We saw that in the blessing given, the initial blessing given to Abraham, the blessing makes the one blessed a blessing. How many of you understand that's part of being blessed? If you are blessed in a godly way, you will be a blessing. You can't just be a Dead Sea. Does everybody know what a Dead Sea is? A Dead Sea has water flowing into it, but nothing going out. That's the Dead Sea. We don't want to be a Dead Sea, do we? We want to be a supply. God flowing in, and we let it flow back out to others. So God said to Abraham, I'll make you a blessing. He said, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. All nations will be blessed by you. That is the blessing. Another revelation that we saw was that blessing has something to do with obedience and purity. Who will enter into the courts of the Lord? Who will come to your holy hill? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and therein lies the blessing. Therein lies the blessing. To be obedient and to be pure before God, to be sanctified and set apart, is part of being a blessing. I want to be that way, don't you? But we also found out that the revelation is that the blessing has to do with anointing. Dan talked about the anointing today. The Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit in our lives. We talked just briefly Friday night, briefly about what was wrong with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Can anybody here tell me? And some of you that talked about it, don't tell me. But anybody tell me what's wrong with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why did Adam and Eve get in such trouble for eating of that tree? Besides the fact that God said don't eat of it, which is big enough in itself, right? But what's wrong with that? What's wrong with knowledge of good and evil? What's that?
If you knew everything, you wouldn't have to listen to him.
That's right down the right track. Let's just keep building on that. If we didn't have to listen to him, what would it be about?
Us.
It'd just be about us, wouldn't it? It would just be about us. It wouldn't be about him. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil gave illegal knowledge in that the knowledge of good and evil by itself just makes us sin conscious. Cherie brought that up very well on Friday night. It causes us to be sin conscious. But it also causes us to be spiritually proud, doesn't it? We just, look, I did that right. And so we get proud about what we did right. You ever do that? You ever get up and read the Bible and pray for an hour and get up and say, wow, am I ever good? Whew, boy, I read the Word and I prayed. I'm just doing all right. And then about that time, your foot catches something and you fall on your nose, right? Skin yourself up real bad. Well, you know the problem with that is that it's all about us. It's all about us. What we need to do is have knowledge of Him. And that's what the Tree of Life gives us. It keeps us in spiritual tune with our Creator. With our God. Amen. So that's what's wrong with it. Now, when we begin to talk about the blessing, and we look at the blessing, we realize that the blessing has to do with anointing. Well, what does the anointing have to do with? Dan read it this morning. Where's the anointing come from? It's having the Spirit of God working on us. That's where the anointing is. When the Comforter is come, He will, what? Bring all things to your remembrance that I've said. Now see, that's not just knowledge of something. That's the Holy Spirit making it alive in us. There's a difference, isn't there? It's the spiritual side of things we're looking at. And so, without going into this deep theology about this, we begin to understand that the knowledge itself was poison to Adam and Eve, because once they ate it, they became self conscious. They became self-centered. What is the first thing they said after they did that? In today's vernacular, they said, "Eek! We're naked." Right? And it was all about them. Cherie said it Friday night. They were naked before that. But it didn't matter. Because it wasn't all about them. It was all about their relationship with God before that. And so the revelation that comes forth to us is that the blessing has to do with the anointing and keeping us dependent upon God. And realizing that in being dependent upon God, He has desired us to be in unity with one another. If you want things to really move in the blessing, I'll tell you, one of the quickest ways to lose the blessing is get into unforgiveness. Right? Amen. We talked about another one today already. If you withhold the tithe, you can lock out the blessing from your life. All of these things are what we need to look at. Well, in Genesis 1:4, we read that God made light and darkness. And we talked about this a little bit on Friday night too, that the Torah was not known as the Torah until Moses. And yet the teaching and instruction of God was there before, wasn't it? Because God was teaching. What was He teaching Adam? The same things His teaching doesn't change. Do you understand that? You know, I get tired of this. People tell me, well, God's part of God's Word's passed away. It hasn't passed away. God never changes. We change. Our needs change, but God never, ever changes. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, "I am Yahweh. I am the Lord, and I change not." And so we need to come to that, and I don't care if my best friend believes that. I'm still not going to agree with him on it, because the Bible teaches very clearly that God is always the same. So light and darkness will always be light and darkness, won't they? God said, "Light be," and after He created light, He saw that it was good. Verse 4 said, Genesis 1:4 said, He divided the light from the darkness. Darkness can never be light. But what does the devil do? He disguises himself as an angel of light. Now what's that? That's deception. But God said, light and darkness can never mingle. Now we're going to get into the blessing after just covering a little bit of the foundation. Galatians 3:13. Christ, say Christ. What does Christ mean? Somebody tell me what Christ is. Let me tell you what it's not. It's not Jesus' last name. Redeemer, Savior. Messiah. What does Messiah mean? The anointed one. The anointed one. Anytime you read about Christ or you see the word Messiah, Moshiach, comes from the word to smear. You know that? Doesn't sound too religious anymore, does it? To smear. To rub on. To apply. Yeshua is the anointed one. It speaks not only of Him being anointed, but it speaks of His anointing. The anointed one and His anointing. So when you see the word Christ as you're reading through Scripture, always stop for a moment and translate. Otherwise, you'll miss something. When He's called the Christ, it's the fact that He's anointed of God. The term Messiah that all the Jews are looking for is the anointed one. What they don't know that they're looking for is His anointing. Because when He is the anointed one, He comes upon those who will receive Him and anoints them so that we become one in Him. And so as we read this, the Bible says the Messiah or the anointed one and His anointing hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree. Well, you all know about that, don't you? How many of you know Romans chapter 8 and verse 2? 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but by the Spirit. Verse 2 says, read it out loud with me. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death?
Cursing.
The law of sin and death has to do with the curse. Has to do with the curse. Go back now to Galatians 3:13. What part of the law has Christ redeemed us from? The curse of the law. The law of sin and death. We're redeemed from that. Now I'm saying that because there is a law of the Spirit of life. He didn't redeem us from that. In fact, the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of cursing. So what is the law of the Spirit of life?
The blessing.
The blessing! Wow, that makes it easier, doesn't it? You see, Christ hath redeemed us from the curses, the law of sin and death. And how did He do it? By the blessing, the law of the Spirit of life. Now, this explains a little bit how Torah, as we know it, has been maligned. There is a part of the Torah that was in place because of sin. And it was a curse on us. And the only way that God could bring us out of that curse was through Jesus Christ. But it wasn't time for Jesus Christ to come into the world yet. And so what did God do to keep people during the time? He actually kept them. He gave them this law of sin and death to cover the curse. He gave them the instructions concerning sin and death. The instructions concerning the curse. And it had to do with killing animals, right? And offering their blood and burning the animals on an altar of sacrifice. Now let me ask you something. Did the blood that was offered at those times really forgive their sins? What did it do? It covered them. Everybody say atonement. The word atonement is not a final word. It was a temporary word. Now it's applied in some cases to Jesus, but it always goes beyond that with Him. The atonement covered sins. It was temporary. It was given until the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world should come into the world. And so we have a period of time when things are being done so that the people don't have to die immediately. They'd have all been dead if God hadn't given them this. God gave them this to protect them and so that they could come into eternal life by being obedient to what they had until the appointed time. When the fullness of times was come, the Bible said, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. And what did He come to do? To redeem the world. To atone for sins, yes, but to do more, to remit. Say remit. Remit means not just to cover, but to send away. So you're getting some strong meat here this morning that'll help you understand what it is that Jesus did. Now, the law of the Spirit of life is the blessing. How does the blessing come?
Faith.
And faith comes by?
Hearing.
What? The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. And the Word of God is the law of the Spirit of life. God's teaching and instruction to us. Not the part that takes away sin by the sacrifice of animals, because it didn't ever work. It could not complete what was planned until Jesus came and not only covered but removed the sin. Because His blood could completely remove sin, couldn't it? Amen? It's completely removed. Your sins, listen, your sins that you've committed, if you get them under the blood of Jesus, are no longer remembered against you. Somebody said, God just forgot about him. No, He didn't. He chose not to remember him. There's a difference. And that's the way you can learn to forgive too, by the way. You do, yeah, because people always say, I can't forget. That's not what the Bible says. It says, remember it no more. That's an act of choice. It starts to come up, just say, no, thank you. I won't receive that. I'll not have that. I'll not think on that. You know where it's coming from anyhow. Remember, unforgiveness can take away your ability to receive the blessing. So the law of sin and death that we read about in Romans 8:2 is the curse of the law. And verse 14 of Galatians 3 says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. What's going to come on us? The blessing. Don't ever read it a blessing. It's not just blessing, it's the blessing. It is only one blessing. It contains a lot of stuff. Amen? But it's the blessing. Might come on the Gentiles, that's the nations, through Jesus Christ, through Jesus, the Anointed One, and His anointing, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith. Through faith. So there we've got it. We've got a foundation to begin on this. The law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua. In the beginning of the blessing to mankind was also shown. I've just been reading through Genesis 1:1 through Genesis 6:8. And I can tell you that already in Genesis, I read about the blessing. I begin to read about the blessing. Let's talk about creation for a minute. Let's talk about creation. How did God create things? Maybe you can't give me the order, but think about it a little bit. What did He do first of all? What's that? The heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. First day now, what did He do? He said, light. That was the first thing that happened, wasn't it? Light. And God separated light from darkness. Then He began to do what? He began to take this dome of water and raise it up above the earth. And that's called atmosphere, isn't it? Raised it up and then He left water under the earth. And then He began to separate the water that was on the earth from the land. Began to separate them and move the water into oceans. And then dry land. Then He went on through a process of putting things on this earth, didn't He? We discovered the other day that on the fourth day He made the sun and the moon and the stars. So light was there before the sun was. Pretty amazing, huh? Did God maybe make a mistake? You know, maybe it's because it's not a science book. No. You see, light comes from God, doesn't come from the sun. And guess what? When we all get to heaven, there's not going to be a sun and a moon anymore, but there's still going to be light. The Bible says the light of God will light the city. Amen? His light. And so we see Him doing preparation, and He does it meticulously. He's making preparation. What's He doing all this preparing for? Now He's putting seed-bearing herbs on the ground. And He said the life's in the seed. And He puts out all the different trees and all the different greenery. And then He puts on the earth the animals and the creeping things of the earth. We're up to the sixth day now. And on the sixth day, the Bible said, let us make man in our likeness and after our image. And God made man out of the dust of the earth, and He breathed into man the breath of life. He didn't do that for any of the beasts. He didn't breathe into their nostrils the breath of life. He did put breath in them, but it's natural breath. Call it soul. But into us He put spirit. Ruach. And He breathed into us the breath of life. And now He's got His man on the earth. And guess what? all things were ready. Wouldn't it have been something if God would have stuck man on the earth, got it out of order, and stuck him there before he had separated the sea from the dry land? That wouldn't have worked, would it? No. On the sixth day, after everything else is done, man would have had to have gills then, see? But God had a plan. Are you listening to me? And the plan was to make everything prepared for His man. He made a man in His likeness and in His image. I found out the other day, I believe that's more important than what we had ever known before when you talk about likeness and image, in that I believe that Adam somehow, Adam, looked like God. He looked like his father. You say, well, why would you say that? Well, we read on later that when Adam had children, it says about Seth that Adam and Eve had children. Does anybody know what God took from Adam to make Eve? A rib. Do you know what that really indicates? Something more minute than that. Some have suggested it might have been his DNA strand. So what would Eve have looked like? Well, even if he used just his rib, she'd have looked like Adam. She would have looked like Adam with a womb. Right? That's what womb man means. Womb, a man with a womb. So God took out of Adam this strand, out of Adam, that he made out of Adama, and Adama is dirt. Did you know that? That's what that is in Hebrew. God made Adam out of Adama. And then He made a woman. So they eventually had Cain and Abel. And by the way, if you read that, you know, I was reading pretty carefully the other day. You know, all of these guys had sons and daughters that are not named. Adam had sons and daughters that we don't know the name of. And he may have had some before Cain and Abel. I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying it's possible the way things were going. But we know of three children that Adam had that had names. Cain, Abel, and Seth. But did you know when Adam had Seth, the Bible said he begat Seth in his likeness and in his image. And I thought, now isn't that interesting? How much DNA differences are on the earth so far? You talk about exact representations, there wouldn't have been much difference, would there? These kids probably look just about like Adam. And they look like their mom too. Now I know this is giving you some weird feelings about how Adam and Eve might have not looked that, you know, but I'll tell you what. When you talk about beauty, that's what they were. Because they were begotten by God. They were created, made in the likeness and image. Beauty? Woo! Something else. I'd never meditated that before and thought about how excellent they would have been in the likeness of God, and then the DNA strand that's in them made Eve, and that DNA came together in their reproduction to produce Cain and Abel and Seth. So I believe it. Even though they were born separately, they look like triplets. I believe they were almost identical. Now we know that eventually things start to change, but how would that happen? Over a period of time with different moms and dads, and eventually things would change, wouldn't it? But I believe right at the beginning there was an awful lot of similarity in mankind. But after He made them, He gave them in this completed creation. Now listen, this is a New Testament verse, but think about it. He gave them all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Isn't that what 2 Peter chapter 1 says? He has given unto us, His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Isn't that what was in the garden? Perfection. And so here they are in the garden, and God's made everything for them. It's all there for them. In fact, here is what the Edenic covenant is about. Everybody say Edenic. Edenic covenant was given to Adam also. There were actually two parts of the Adamic covenant. Part of it was Edenic, what was given to him while he was still in Eden. And the Edenic covenant in Genesis 1:28 said God blessed them. God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful. Okay? First part of that covenant, first part of that blessing is fruitfulness. Say fruitfulness. How many of you believe that's still part of God's blessing today? Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Okay? Be fruitful and multiply. Well, that's what having children is all about, is multiplication. Somebody I was reading said, nowadays, you know, if somebody comes around with eight kids, people close the door and act like they're not home. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with their being fruitful to multiply. It has to do with behavior. You know, if kids behave, it doesn't make any difference if there's eight or two, does it? If they're unruly, then it wouldn't make any difference to me if there's eight or two. But he says, I want you to replenish the earth or to fill the earth, and I want you to subdue it. So what's his blessing going to? Adam, you're going to be in charge. Say in charge. That's exactly what he's saying. Subdue it. Subdue it and have dominion. Over what? Over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. 29 says, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth and every tree, in which the fruit of a tree yielding, into which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. What did man need after this blessing? Nothing. He had it all. He had it all. Man had everything he needed. He had the blessing, and it all pertained unto God at this time, didn't it? And then God says, now there's two trees in the garden. There's the tree of life in the center of the garden, but there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of all the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat thereof you will surely die. Now, what did man have dominion over? Everything. Literally. Talks about fish, talks about birds, and everything that creeps on the earth. So that literally is all created beings were under Adam's authority and dominion. Everything. Not one thing was not under his dominion. The second blessing he talks about was in Genesis 2:3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which he created and made. He blessed the seventh day. He blessed the seventh day and he set it apart. He blessed and he set it apart. How many of you know that the Sabbath is a blessing? Huh?
For man.
Wasn't for God. How many of you think God got tired creating? He didn't get tired. He wasn't weary. Doesn't ever say he was weary. It just said at the end of the sixth day, he quit. That was it. God doesn't get tired. God doesn't get tired. So God blessed the seventh day and he gave it as a blessing to man. In Isaiah, it says that we are to call the Sabbath a delight. A delight, not a problem. You know, the way I was brought up to think about the Sabbath, and I got to tell you that I was brought up to think about Sunday as the Sabbath. It still was a pain in the rear to me. I didn't like it. No, you can't do that. Today's Sunday. You can't. No, you can't do that. No, we don't do that on this day. We don't. No, I didn't like that. What was wrong with it? Well, I wasn't offered a good alternative. Oh, yeah, we had church. But it wasn't a delight to me when I couldn't go someplace and do something on Sunday. Now, I got to tell you, that has happened with all people. All of these days suddenly became kind of melded together. But I want to tell you something. It's never changed that God made man to rest for 52 days a year. Are you listening to me? God created us to rest 52 days a year. And you might say, is that all? No, it actually isn't all, because there are also feast day Sabbaths that also you are to rest upon. And you know, if you know anything about history and you begin to study history, you know that man, when he began to rule things on this earth, like it was in the days of Noah, that's one of the first things that quit. Because when men began to subdue other men and put them to work and enslave them, there were no rest days anymore. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they never rested. They didn't get to rest. And what happened to them was they died young. They had difficulty, but God made everybody to rest 52 days a year plus feast Sabbaths. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in that it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. But you know, just like with all of the blessing, the first blessing that God gave was to man was to have dominion in the earth and subdue the earth and be fruitful in the earth and multiply in the earth. But what did God... And then He blessed the Sabbath. But what did man do? You know, the simplest way to say it is they rejected the blessing. They began to reject the blessing. They rejected the blessing by, first of all, eating of a fruit that God told them not to eat of. Say, how did that happen? How did that come about that man ate of a fruit that God said don't eat? Can somebody tell me? What happened? God said don't eat of that fruit, but all of a sudden one day they've eaten of it. What happened?
Temptation.
What?
Temptation.
Temptation. Good. Temptation. Where did that temptation come from?
A snake.
A snake. Somebody tell me what a snake is. A what? A serpent. Was it a living thing that moved upon the earth? It was a living thing that moved upon the earth. What was it to Adam? Something that Adam should have had dominion over. Say dominion. Do you remember that Cain was told later on that sin lieth at the door, but you can overcome it? That's exactly what could happen to Adam and Eve, because Adam had power. We don't even know how much. Think about this. When Adam walked out the door, if there was a mastodon, Adam walked out and Adam didn't say, "Oh, mastodon." He just said, "Move, fella. Get over there. I don't want you over here. You get over there." And mastodon would have had to do it. Did you know that? What was that thing that was in that movie where all the prehistoric animals came back to life? What was What was that thing?
Which one?
The one that ate everything. The fast one.
Velociraptor.
Yeah, whatever that is. A velociraptor, if there was such a thing. Adam could have walked out the door and said, "Move, velociraptor." And you know what the velociraptor would have done? It would have gone over and started eating grass. Because it had to move when Adam said move. He had dominion in the earth. Yes.
Would you mind if I said something?
No, I'd be happy if you said something.
I was just reading, I think it was yesterday, in Mark, where Jesus is in the boat and He's sleeping and the waves are coming and He speaks to the wind and waves and He says, "Do you still have no faith?" And I realized when He said that, what He was saying to them was, you could have done what I just did. You could have spoke to the wind and you could have spoke to the waves. Do you still not realize that you can do that? But you're still depending on Me to do it for you. And they had dominion. And so it was like He was saying, do you still not realize that you have dominion?
Amen. Amen. And that is a part of redemption, isn't it? It was a part of our created blessing. Adam gave it away, didn't he? Because Adam, instead of having dominion over a serpent, which is a moving thing on the earth, he instead let it become his advisor. Did God ever say, "I'll put these here to be your advisors"? No. This serpent, we know, had been taken over by Hasatan, the devil. But think about it for a second now. Adam, because it had to come to him in that form, Adam could have very easily just said, no, out, back. I know Eve heard first. The Bible said Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. Did you know that? Eve was deceived by the serpent, but Adam was not.
So why did he give in?
I suspect that even perfection is not enough for the human soul. Think about it. What was it that he was fixed upon? Not all that was his, but that one little thing God said, don't eat it. That was the thing that caught the human soul that was in him, see? And so he began to look at it and saw that it looked nice, and he gave in. So we say he chose to reject the blessing because he did not exercise dominion. Now I want to tell you something today while you're here. You can exercise dominion, or you can let circumstances and things exercise dominion over you. This is part of the beauty of what Cherie was just speaking. That we do have power in this earth. Our power is in Him. It's not independent power, it's in Jesus. But you can begin to exercise it. And I hope that you'll get that's part of the blessing. Say the blessing. So now, you see, Adam has failed, and in Genesis 3:17, God's talking to him, and he says, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed." It's the first time you've heard that word in the Bible. "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat all the days of thy life." Did you know that this was when it turned from just living and letting God supply to man having to work and sweat and strain? Not only that, thorns were introduced because of the curse. "Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." I want you to know what God's saying. He's saying you were made to live forever, but now in the day that you ate thereof you did surely die. Two ways. Number one, your body began to ebb and deteriorate. It took him 930 years to die. You understand that. But it was begun. But secondarily, what was Adam doing when God came looking for him in the garden? Hiding. What did God say? I want you to get this picture. God says, "Adam, where are you?" I want to ask you now, did God know where Adam was? So what was he really asking him? He was asking him, "Adam, do you know where you are? Do you now know where you are, Adam?" I mean, God could have walked right over to Adam and picked him up by the scruff of the neck. But he didn't. He said, "Adam, do you know where you are now? You're separated from me. You're in a state of separation because of your choice. Because you did not exercise in the blessing, therefore you have loosed a curse. Adam, where are you?" God may be talking to us. Where are you? Where are you today? God knows where you are, but where are you? He wants you to know. Are you with Him? You're running from Him. When you mess up, do you go hide in the bushes, or do you run to Him and say, "I'm sorry, Daddy. I blew it, Daddy"? You see, that's what we're supposed to do. If we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But people still, and it's always kind of subtle, isn't it, that we get further and further away because we choose not to walk close to Him. It's a choice. But God knew about covenant, hallelujah. And God said, "You messed up, Adam, but it ain't over." No, God didn't say ain't. God never says ain't. He said it isn't over. He says, "I've got something called grace." You haven't heard about grace before, but I've got grace. And he gives him an Adamic covenant now, that because remember, the Edenic covenant was given in innocence. The Adamic covenant is given after the fall, and it requires grace. And the Adamic covenant we read about in Genesis 3:15, it begins. He says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman," talking to the serpent, "and between thy seed and her seed." Well, he wasn't talking about serpent seed. He was talking about devil seed, wasn't he? And he said, "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Do you know what that is? That's the first promise of Jesus, right there. Say, how could that be a promise about Jesus? Well, let's see, how was Jesus born? Did you know in any place else a woman doesn't have seed? Women don't have seed. Men have seed. Women have eggs. But he says, "Between thy seed." The seed of the woman is the seed that God implanted in the woman's womb. It's speaking of the virgin birth. And he's going to bruise the head of Satan. Did he? You know, when Jesus came up out of that grave, that sneering, ugly, cynical smile of the devil was wiped off forever. He don't laugh anymore. He knows he has but a short time. His head has been bruised. But you know what? Even in that, with this great promise, in verse 21, it says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." How did God make a coat of skins for Adam and Eve? How did he do that? A coat of skins. He didn't make them a coat of... didn't make them a nylon coat or a cotton coat. He made them a coat of skins. What?
He would have had to sacrifice.
He had to slay an animal, didn't he? So we see the beginning of animal sacrifice for covering. What is atonement? Covering.
Covering their nakedness.
Covered their nakedness that they were suddenly aware of. Their sin. It wasn't sin until they disobeyed, but it became sin to them, didn't it? And so he covered them, clothed them. But you know, even with that, we read on in the next few verses, and it doesn't take very long because you're in chapter 3 of Genesis here. By the time you get to chapter 5 of Genesis, people have become reprobate. There's generations that have gone by, but not too many. I think Noah was the 10th generation. By the 10th generation, man has become reprobate. And there was nothing but evil on the earth. And God told Noah, the Bible actually says before he began speaking, he said it repented God that he had made man on the earth. And he said, "I will destroy all living things from off the earth. I'm going to purge the earth." But I love Noah. Genesis 6:8 says, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Don't you like that? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why do you suppose Noah found grace and all the rest of these people that have been born didn't find grace?
He trusted God.
Because Noah was trusting God. We don't know how much he trusted him until we see what he does when God gives him orders. For 120 years, he builds an ark. And by the way, Henrietta's built an ark downstairs. Didn't take her quite 120 years. She built it out of boxes. And the thing runs from that wall over to about here. It's about, how many feet long is that, Keith? About 12 feet? About 12 feet long. And the kids are probably, I don't know if they'll get to see it today or not, but they will get to see it soon. But they're going to get to really talk. They're talking about Noah right now. It's what she's showing them a video that Cherie had about Noah. And they're going to study Noah. They're going to study and find out about the faith of Noah. Bible says in Genesis 6:5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. And in the 18th verse, after he's given him instructions about the ark, he says, "But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." And when they came in, then God purged all unbelief out of the earth, didn't he? Because that's the reason people fail God. Did you know that? Not for any other reason. Get this down. Write it in your book. The only reason you will ever fail God is because you don't trust Him. Did you know every commandment of God can only be broken by a lack of trust? Why would a man steal? 8 handcuffs. Why would a man steal? Because he didn't think God was going to supply. Why would a man commit adultery? Because he didn't think that the woman that God had provided for him was sufficient. Right? It would always be that step that I wasn't satisfied with what I had. I needed more because I don't trust God. It's a matter of mistrust. It's unbelief. The only sin, really, if you get right down to it, that men will go to hell for is because they don't trust. Because they didn't trust on the name of the Son of God. That's fact. That's it. Every one of the commandments were to lead us to trust Him. First, we've got to love Him with all of our heart. You've got to trust Him, don't you? But Noah found grace. So the earth's purged, and now, how many days later was it? 150 some days after the waters covered the earth? Then finally the ark comes to rest. Comes to rest on Ararat. By the way, the picture of the ark, some of the pictures that have been given by people that have actually hiked up into that area are a lot different than a boat. They don't look like a boat. It's an ark. It's just a big box. That's what it is. It's a great big box with three stories. And people have found it. It's broken in half now. It slid down in a glacier and broken. But they can actually, they've had some pictures of it. It's almost always covered by some snow. But it's a very interesting thing. And an engineering marvel. Can you imagine being shut up for 150 days with livestock? Have you ever thought about that? How many of you have ever raised livestock? What do you know is one part of raising livestock? What's that? A lot of manure. If you've been around livestock, you've shoveled manure. I don't care if it was a chicken. You had to go in once in a while and clean out the cage, didn't you? How in the world could you have stood the smell? Well, you wouldn't believe the ventilation shaft that was in that. You wouldn't believe the way God had designed it. The convection currents would have carried that up and out. It would have been an amazing place. An engineering marvel. God did it. But they finally came out, praise God. And they got out, and then God makes what is called the Noahic covenant. Now I want you to understand that covenant and blessing go together. Do you see that? Covenant and blessing go together. And let me give you a little bit of what God said to Noah. In the 9th chapter of Genesis is when they came out of the ark. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, listen to what he says now, "And behold, I establish my covenant with you and your seeds after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and the beast, and the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by waters or flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, this is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that's with you for perpetual generations. And I'll set a bow in the cloud and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. What's God give back to Noah? It's literally the same covenant that he gave to Adam, isn't it? Literally, he's telling him, now you've got dominion again. Now you can take dominion. And he goes even a step further. Because up until this time, man had been eating what?
Veggies.
And to Noah, God says, you can now eat meat. I've given you meat to eat. Why would he give him meat? Well, some people say it's because he saved all the meat of the earth through his obedience, putting it on the ark, that God gave it to him then for food. I don't know, but I'm kind of glad he did. I kind of like meat. Anybody else like meat here? Anybody else here just a veggie chomper? That's all right. If you like veggies, that's great. I'm not going to condemn you, but I sure like meat. Praise God. And there's the blessing. Say, the blessing. What does the blessing do for Noah? Takes care of all of his needs. Everything he needs is taken care of. And so you can start getting rid of this, I work for a living. How many of you know we really don't work for a living? We work. The Bible says we're to work. If a man work not, neither shall he eat. But listen, work is not the way you make your living. The blessing gives us life. Amen? We work, but the blessing gives us life. And I'll tell you, if you'll change your attitude about that, you'll quit talking like this. Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure. There's never enough to go around. I'll tell you this. There's always more week than there is paycheck. You quit talking like that. You won't talk like that. What you'll do is you'll begin to substitute what the Word of God said, and you'll say things like this. But my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When will you do that? Well, when you look and there's not enough. Have you ever been there where there just wasn't enough? Has anybody else ever been there and there wasn't enough? Is there anybody that hadn't? We all know what it is. But you see, the blessing is God's way of releasing on us all that we need. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland this morning, just happened to tune him in for a little bit, and he was telling about the early days of ministry when he was getting hold of this. And he said, many times we would go out in our car to go to a meeting in the early days, and he said it was a choice of whether we put gas in the car or had food to eat for the trip. And he said, we couldn't go to our ministry trip without gas, so the choice was we put gas in the car. And he said, we'd start out. And he said, the kids would say, hey, Dad, what are we going to eat? And he said, now I could have said, oh, kids, we're serving God. And, you know, we're just suffering for Jesus. And so we just have to fast today. But he said, I wouldn't say that. He said, when they said that, I'd say, any minute now. And he said, one day we were driving along. He said, I didn't have a dime in my pocket. And he said, we were driving. And he says, as I was driving down the highway, he said, I saw a $20 bill on a divided highway caught in the divider fence. And he said, I had to make a U-turn, and I went up, and I got out of my car, and I pulled that $20 bill off, and I said, we're eating right now. And he said, right next door was a Sizzler. This is back in the 60s, so you could eat in 20. But he said, we're eating right now. And he said, we headed for the drive-up. Well, you see, God wants us to work, but He doesn't want us to work for a living. He wants us to work in the kingdom. Amen? That doesn't mean that everybody has to be a full-time preacher. It does mean this. It means everybody, no matter what your job is, while you're out there cutting those trees and hauling those trees, you still recognize it's in Him I live and move and have my being. And God supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you see what that does? That makes you recession-proof. It takes you from being a recession victim to a recession solver. And I believe the blessing is given to us for those kinds of things. As we get the attitudes right. It's all about changing the attitudes. Now I know a lot of you right now can sit here and agree with me. But when you get out of here, that's when the rubber meets the road. And the next time you see lack, how you handle it is important. What are you going to look for? Are you going to look to your circumstance, or are you going to look to the blessing? I believe we can look to the blessing. I believe God wants to bless us. I believe God wants to supply your needs. I believe God wants you to be in dominion on this earth and not to be under. The Bible says in the blessing that comes after us in Deuteronomy 28, that says the blessing will come after you and overtake you. Have you ever thought what that means? Have you ever had anything overtake you? Did you ever step out onto the road and all of a sudden realize there's a car coming faster than you thought it was? It was overtaking you, wasn't it? Now, that was a dangerous car. That was not a blessing. But let's look at it with a blessing. I don't know about you, but I just wouldn't mind getting run over by a blessing truck. How about you? When God's blessing train comes, I'm going to get in the way. Amen? I'm going to let it overtake me. I'm going to let it run me over because it's God's blessing. And the blessing of God comes after us and overtakes us. He said, I'll make it so that you're above and not beneath. What's that mean? Well, that's talking about dominion again, isn't it? He said, you'll lend to many nations and borrow from none. I like that. How would you like to start lending to nations? You know, I understand that Zimbabwe's needing some help right now. Wouldn't it be something if God's people got together? First, we have to get rid of that Mugabe. But then we could start blessing Uganda. I heard this morning about a bunch of Jews. They're really not literally Jews, but they are children of Israel, and they're in Ethiopia. But they've accepted Christ and they live in poverty right now. But they can't be taken into Israel because the Israelis won't allow them in because they're Christians. But they're part of the tribe of Dan. And here they are in Ethiopia. Well, how would you like to help them? I'd like to help them. I'd like to be a blessing to them, and I believe we can. Amen? Let's stand together. Praise God. Father, we love you today and honor you. We adore you. We give you glory and honor and praise because your name is the name above every name. And we magnify you today. And Lord, we believe the blessing. We believe the blessing was given at the beginning. And Lord, we want to make sure that we choose the blessing. And we'll choose the blessing by choosing your word. We choose you. We choose to trust. We choose to believe. We choose to walk in your will and your way. We choose, O Lord, you. That's what we want more than anything else, just to walk with you and be an obedient servant to you. But Lord, it's not about following the rules, it's about being your child, walking with you, keeping ourselves in harmony with you. That's our desire. And we receive the blessing today. I want you to say it. Say, I receive your blessing. Blessing. I receive the blessing. It is from God. It is for me. My attitude is changing. I believe that God is a blessing God. I have come out of the curse by the blood of Jesus. I'll walk in blessing and not cursing, for the law of the Spirit of life in the anointed Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In the name of Yeshua. Lift your hands up. Because now here comes the blessing. And now may God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. And everybody that received it said, Amen. Amen. Praise God.